Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
From space to the court, everywhere in between, we had you covered yesterday, and we promise hopefully more of the same today. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake. Because, Janae, before we get to the stars on the court last night, the NBA, the Lakers-Nets game that maybe allowed us to draw some conclusions and gave me one of my favorite bits of sound already this NBA season. But I got to say, the real star and winner yesterday was Peter Agumake. Your dad had everyone talking, Janae. Has he changed up around you now? Is he screening your guys' phone calls now that he's big time?
He really had no clue. I was like, Dad, you were a hit. Everyone loved you. And he was like, really? How do you know this? Where's the empirical evidence? Where's the numbers to sort of decide this factor? I was like, okay, never mind, Dad. Just go back to enjoying your birthday today. Happy birthday, Papa D, Peter Agumake.
There we go. So a very happy birthday now officially to Peter Agumake. For, if you missed it yesterday, joined us as the official space correspondent of this show as the Mars rover landed Perseverance yesterday while we were getting ready to come on air. The Agumake family name etched on a chip up there. And so they're in space. Technically, we're actually still down here doing this radio show right now. And to that end, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Janae, we had a game that had big billing that was somewhat coming into it already with expectations tempered because no Kevin Durant playing in the game for the Nets, no Anthony Davis playing for the Lakers. But Brooklyn still goes out and gets an impressive win. They win 109-98, and it did not feel as close as that score might indicate. What stuck out most to you, Chinee, during this one, and a one that Brooklyn seemed to have in hand for most of the game?
From one space correspondent rooted in fact to another, that is not so much Kyrie Irving and James Harden being able to put it together against the Brooklyn Nets. You see what I did there? But, you know, the biggest fact that I watched was the strategy employed by Brooklyn, because they knew exactly what they were going up against. They're going up against LeBron James, who is brute force that the game of basketball has yet to ever see done at such a high level. So what do? They play small ball, and I love it. They started Jeff Green as their center, and what they were able to do on both ends of the floor, Junior. All right, small ball offensively, and we learned this with the best case being the Golden State Warriors. Small ball offensively means that, hey, you know what? We're going to just make you come out and guard us behind three. And they knocked down 18 threes. And I think Kyrie didn't even hit one. James Harden led him in scoring with 23. So offensively with small ball, it worked, because they're like, we're going to make this a shootout. And guess what? They made more shots. Defensively, and this is a crazy thing, Junior, it also worked for them with small ball, largely because Anthony Davis was out. So like, it's not like he would come and bust that up. But more so, they finally had that defensive clarity, because small ball means switching. And by switching, it means, you know, pick and roll scenarios, you guys just switch who you're guarding. And you have to be on point when you make that switch, because otherwise the offense can take advantage. So they switched on offense. Everyone had to be ready to guard everyone else, which meant they were locked in defensively. They had the effort there. And so the Brooklyn Nets have found a strategy that has worked. And I compare this a lot, Junior, to the Warriors, because they use small ball very effectively, you know, and with Kevin Durant as their center. And I feel like the Brooklyn Nets said, LeBron James just sort of made that comparison. Maybe we should lean into that, even though Steve Nash and them have been doing this a little bit before, and it worked really well for them.
And you saw LeBron James and Anthony Davis over on the sideline seeming to whisper, wearing masks so they didn't have to do the thing where you cover your mouth to talk up out there. It's actually helped out with a lot of that stuff. But it does beg the question of what we can take away from this, because you're right. That's a great strategy that you can use in spots. You don't know if you can major in it, because we saw the Rockets try to do it against the Lakers last year in the playoffs and certainly have some trouble when Anthony Davis was back. But here was LeBron James talking after the game about if this is still a measuring stick type outing for this team, regardless of who is on the court.
No, it's never a move on, flush it. No, not for me. You know, I'm definitely going to rewatch the game and see ways we could have got better. We could have got better shots, not turn the ball over, see ways we could have got better stops, some of the breakdowns that we had defensively. So it's never a flush it for me, I don't think, you know, you don't look at too many games during the season when you have a measuring stick, but also when you do, you want to be full, you know, and they weren't full as well. So you don't really know how to go about that, but, you know, you can always find ways to get better no matter who's in the lineup.
Janae Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And Janae, I came away from this game realizing a couple of things. And I think one first and foremost was seeing so much of the change and turnover around the Lakers supporting cast, we knew Montrezl Harrell was a big pickup, Mark Gasol coming into the picture, Dennis Schroeder, who they were without last night because of the health and safety protocols, were all new faces we were excited about going in. But it was a reminder to me that this Lakers outfit requires the two alphas in place. It requires LeBron and Anthony Davis, because we were able to convince ourselves that that Lakers supporting cast last year was actually solid, was something that we could believe in down the stretch of the season, because two great players allowed everyone else to figure out where they fit in that orbit. And what you saw last night was difficult growing pains in some places for the Lakers, too. We've talked about it so much with the Nets in certain spots, but that Lakers supporting cast was thoroughly outclassed last night once they were asked to live outside of their normal spot in the way that this works for Los Angeles.
Okay, in fairness, the supporting cast, like you said, in the NBA Finals, you had both of the dynamic duo, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, out there, but guys like KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, got dumb paid because they were able to produce when it mattered most. But again, like you said, you know, AD was out there and AD is not. And that's when you sort of need it now more than ever. And it's cool because, like, I think what we saw was the urgency between two teams that one's vying for a championship and one is just coming off of one, right? Like the supporting cast for the Lakers, you never really felt that. Kyle Kuzma had spurts, but like you never really felt like they put all the pieces together to help support LeBron James. Meanwhile, you saw TLC, you saw Joe Harris, you saw all the supporting cast play with that sense of motivation and drive and sense of urgency. And I want to bring this fact up for those who might still be detractors, or at least not believing in the Nets, whether they're real or not, because, you know, they have a number of missing pieces in and out. They've dealt with issues, you know, with the media, Kyrie being available or not. Listen to this. The Brooklyn Nets are now 10-1 against teams with a 500 or better record. Mm. So while they have lost games they should not have lost, they have won arguably most of the meaningful games that actually can help them build towards this championship. And I feel like that's exactly what LeBron James was whispering in Anthony Davis's ear.
He realized what we all saw last night. And that's going to become the most interesting part of the conversation for me, is when we ditch that narrative, what you just talked about, that defense is going to be a thing that holds these guys back, not understanding what we know about the regular season versus the postseason. And when it comes to the postseason, someone in that Nets outfit was already feeling comfortable enough. Someone in that Nets outfit was already feeling like, yeah, we know where we're going, enough to say the thing out loud. Ladies and gentlemen, Kyrie Irving, Brooklyn Nets guard, who after the game last night reminded the Lakers, don't worry, we'll get to run this back.
We definitely did a great job tonight of establishing the pace. You know, we knew that Bron was going to go out and try to score a lot of points. So, you know, we were relying on those other guys to make shots around him. So we just wanted to come out and show why we've been able to go on this little streak of ours, and that's just committing to the other end of the floor defensive end and staying principally connected, just being there for each other. That's it. Rebounding, boxing out, doing the little details that create separation. So we'll see them down the line again, and we look forward to it with a whole entire healthy Lakers team. That's what we really wanted. I know everybody wants that, and so I'm looking forward to the challenge and seeing them down the line.
Two things. One, I'm amazed in a multi-billion dollar league with players that are making millions of dollars in cash that we cannot get Kyrie Irving a mask that just fits his face the right way. That's number one that blows me away as we watch that dip down his face during that clip. But number two, Chiney, for a guy last night who had a fine game, had 16 points last night, a lot of them came late when this was already in hand, this felt an awful lot like the guy in the bar shouting over the back of his much larger friends that, yeah, don't worry, we got you later, don't worry about it.
You know what? After hearing that from Kyrie Irving, we have a segment on the show that sort of sums up exactly how I feel. Keep that same energy. Mm-hmm. Keep that same energy when we get the rematch when everyone's healthy. Because guess what? That makes that one so much more fun. Because this one was a blowout.
Yeah, this one wasn't quite as fun. So hopefully we can get a little better action coming up. Tune in. The NBA is on ESPN Radio tomorrow night. LeBron and the Lakers are going to host Jimmy Butler in the Heat. Little finals rematch from the bubble presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. We'll see if they've got the bounce back there. But coming up next, let's see if defense is something that still might be an issue for the Nets when it counts the most, even with what we saw last night. We'll ask someone who knows a thing or two about great defense in the association next here on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We don't have KD. How do you see this offense maturing and growing as they move through the schedule?
They really have found their rhythm. The looks that these role players are getting are phenomenal, but give them credit. They are shooting them at such a high rate.
I mean, seriously, if Joe Harris is going to go 6-for-7 from beyond the arc, the Nets are going to win a lot of basketball games.
So true.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené. The dude couldn't miss. Like, it's automatic from everywhere. And I get that's not an anomaly with him. But good Lord, 6-for-7, when it mattered during that game, was a barrage of threes for the Nets.
He shoots like he's trying to prove everybody wrong. And normally that's cool when you have fans there and it's a road game. But he's, like, visualizing all the right things. Good for you, Joe Harris. Gets paid and is continuing to do his job well.
Absolutely. That's all you could ask for, going out and doing his job. And the Nets get a big win over the Lakers last night in the NBA. But how much can we really take away from it? For more on that, let's head to the Goodyear Hotline, where we're joined by our friend and ESPN NBA analyst Bruce Bowen, with us, five-time all-defensive first team in the NBA. Bruce, we appreciate the time, and I want to start there, because for all the talk about offense in this game, the defense for the Nets seemed to stand out for a lot of people last night. Do you think that they've made a big step now in solving the defensive woes we saw for this new big three originally?
Well, I think every single chance they get an opportunity to practice is going to help them when it comes to the defensive side. I think that's something that's underrated right now as far as the defensive aspect of things. A lot of these guys don't have the defensive reps at practice, and this is something that's so necessary when you're talking about competing for a championship. We all know about the great offensive skill set a lot of the big three have there with the Brooklyn Nets as far as KD, Kyrie, and now James Harden. But when it comes down to when you talk about championship basketball, everyone's going to have to pick it up on the defensive side, and that only happens when you're able to get those types of reps during the course of practice.
So true. Jhené Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., and Bruce Bowen, ESPN NBA analyst, and also three-time NBA champion with us on ESPN Radio. Hey, Bruce. Been a minute. Now, question. Did last night change the hierarchy of power in the NBA watching the Brooklyn Nets, albeit without KD, take down the Lakers, albeit without AD?
No, I don't think so. You understand what they have, and, you know, the Lakers are missing a huge component as far as their foundational piece in Anthony Davis. So they have to try to figure out exactly how do you change up things, but not change up to the point where you're no longer who you once were. You start to see now that he was an anchor on defense, being able to help sign and change and alter shots. But more importantly, he slowed the game down for the Lakers as far as having someone that you could go to on the block and deal with guys from that aspect of things, because no one can guard him one-on-one down low. So you had opportunities where now these role players, now all they have to do is their role. You talked about Joe Harris early on. He just knocking down threes. That's what he does. But now you look at the Lakers. Now who's going to create that shot for Kontavious Pope? Who's going to do the different things for a lot of the role players for the Lakers? LeBron is doing a tremendous job of carrying the load, but he can't do it all for them.
Bruce, how concerned are you with those Lakers role players going into this stretch where now we hear Anthony Davis is going to likely be out 4 weeks after we heard that from Frank Vogel last night?
I'm concerned from the standpoint that this type of concern and hearing all the negative things or people challenging the situation within the Lakers, I look at it as an opportunity for those guys to now step up. Now you have an opportunity to step out of the shadows of what LeBron has been able to do, what AD has been able to do, and now show your value to your club. Show your value as far as picking it up on defense. Show your value, Montrezl Harrell now having a bigger role out there on the floor. I love this challenge because I was one of those guys. I was a role player. And I'm going to tell you this. When Tim Duncan, now mind you, I didn't want him out for more than a week. But when he took one of those occasional days off, Bruce Bowen was thinking about getting career high. He was thinking about it all day during the nap. But once the lights came on and the ball went up, Tony had the ball, Manu had the ball, and I might have gotten three extra shots. But at the same time, it's the spirit of the game of you wanting to prove all the naysayers wrong.
Bruce Bowen, ESPN NBA analyst here with us on ESPN Radio. And let me tell you, Bruce, I feel you on that. When my sister comes out of the game, I'm trying to get all of her shots. I know I don't have to pass the big sis anymore, so I feel you with that energy. But I want to sort of switch gears. Because a lot is going on this season, especially dealing with COVID. Even Dennis Schroeder not being available last night sort of changed the vibe of the game yesterday. You know, there's conversations about NBA All-Star. We don't have much time left, but what do you think about all the conversations players are having pushing back on the league on NBA All-Star this year in Atlanta?
I love the fact that they are utilizing their voices now and not just keeping it to themselves and not saying anything. I think that's the beauty of our country. That's the beauty of our sport. I think that's the beauty of what has transpired from negative situations that's transpired even within not just the NBA, but all sports. Now, having that voice to say, you know what, I don't think this is necessarily the right thing to do right now. And I think at the end of the day, everyone, we're going to try to make sure the NBA is going to do a tremendous job, obviously, of trying to make sure people are safe. But this is a valid question. So with this valid question, now you have a situation where this game being played, it's not just for the players, but it's also to bring some type of normalcy back to our reality because of all the mess that we've been dealing with.
And certainly a lot of mess, but you're right. Adam Silver, the NBA, trying to provide something that feels normal for themselves and for everyone watching that is a fan of this league. Bruce, you're the best. We appreciate you. We will talk to you very soon as
Thanks,
the NBA
Bruce.
Season keeps rolling along.
Y'all stay warm and keep getting them shots up.
You already know it.
Looking for buckets. Any chance that we get around here, Bruce Bowen joining us on the Goodyear
best
Hotline.
Best dismount we've had so far. I'm sorry. Right there. Keep getting some shots up. Like, that's the best.
I was going to say, what a great, you're right, signature sign-off there. Like, could you imagine just finishing an interview and be like, all right, guys, have a good one. Get buckets.
No, that's what I'm going to start doing. I literally was just telling myself in my head, like, every interview, I'm like, hey, thanks for having me. Get buckets. Yeah.
Man, difference makers around here. That's the difference right
Wait,
now.
What would an O lineman's version be? Dig in or
it'd probably be get pancakes, yeah, which actually sounds like a great idea even outside of O-line context. I think we're on to something right now. The NBA is on ESPN Radio, though. Tune in Sunday. Zion and the Pelicans host Jaylen Brown and the Celtics, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. Coming up next, the Eagles dealing Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts is going to have a big effect on that team this upcoming season. But it's also going to have effects felt elsewhere. What's the next big domino to fall in the quarterback offseason? We'll get to that after this word from Body Armor. Get pancakes.
Get buckets. Body crazy. Workout ready, big drink on deck. Let Body Armor Lite help you achieve your fitness goals this year. My goal to be a WNBA All-Star this season is probably pretty good. And juniors is to do a headstand. Still pretty good. All's good in the hood. Now, Body Armor Lite is a low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Now, it also comes in delicious flavors like peach mango, tropical coconut, and strawberry lemonade, my personal favorite. Now, Body Armor Lite, keeping you hydrated during your workouts and your busy day. We all have very busy days, but good news here, y'all. We've always made it. It's Friday. Okay, so from now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash to select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That is bacommittofit.com. Now, Deshaun Watson in Carolina or Sam Darnold? Sammy in the Chicago Bears? You dreamed it. Can the NFL achieve it? That's right after this on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Philadelphia has agreed to trade Carson Wentz to the Colts.
Last year with Phillip Rivers at quarterback, they had a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense.
They're legit Super Bowl contenders for this coming season.
Spent the whole last break arguing about Trevor Lawrence with everyone in studio. I've been amazed. Chanae, you can appreciate this as a former number one overall pick. And one who famously had to be told she was going to go number one. Everyone else knew except for you here on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. In that situation, Chanae, you were seen as such a lock. Everyone was surprised you didn't know. I thought that was how we were going to treat Trevor Lawrence, but apparently that's not the case.
Yeah, the tables have turned, but we all know people just trying to fill some space here, okay? Like, I still do not have any questions about Trevor Lawrence and his status, but I do think that a lot of the hype conversation about Zach Wilson and the Philadelphia, I blame you because you're number one six and all of the issues that you have with Carson Wentz, now it's forcing all these conversations with quarterbacks, and maybe it's more gas than actual reality, but hey, do you, boo-boo, do you.
Man, maybe this is all the Philly effect with Carson Wentz right now. We are all kind of having some of the drain off from this situation. And for anyone that missed that situation, Carson Wentz, the trade with Indianapolis was reported on yesterday. He's going to go over there for, I believe it's a second
third round pick
and a second round conditional that becomes a first based on percentage of playing time being up over 70%. And so now we've got that one off the board, Janae. Carson's going to go there. We've heard basically every version of every take possible for the upcoming season, what version of Wentz we're going to get, how much we trust the surroundings there. But it's brought up an interesting situation now. And before we get to anything else, Steve Smith Sr. was on ESPN Radio earlier today, NFL Network analyst, former great wide receiver in the league, and talked about what Carson has in front of him, kind of a new chance to prove himself all over again.
First takeaway, really, I think that's the best fit for Carson Wentz on paper. When you look at what has transpired with him, and this is all obviously hearsay, with what has gone on in Philadelphia, and then you also understand the history, and then I also understand the great coach that Frank Wright is, the familiarity. But I think it's a good pick, but I also have a little bit of hope and apprehension because, you know, Carson Wentz is in a position he's in for whatever reasons they're out there. Doesn't matter because he's in a new place. But if he does not play like the Carson Wentz that before he got hurt when he was in the MVP race, then we're going to be saying the same thing and having the same questions and having the same dialogue about Carson Wentz.
Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And part of the dialogue around Carson Wentz, where we go from here now, Janae, is the effect on all the other teams still in the market this offseason, and specifically the Chicago Bears now come into focus because as we look around and wonder where the next domino is going to fall in the quarterback market, we've already had what's gone on with the Los Angeles Rams, with Matthew Stafford. Now we've got Carson Wentz is the one we were all waiting for. Chinee, Chicago, who was talked about with Carson Wentz, perhaps, now all of a sudden sitting on the sideline, and I thought it was interesting. ESPN.com, there's a great article up there right now talking about future homes for a lot of the quarterbacks around the NFL, naming the starter for every team. Field Yates wrote the article, going to join us later on in the show to discuss it. He's got Sam Darnold lining up under center for the Chicago Bears week one of this season. Chinee, do you feel like Chicago should be happier with that than with the potential of having gotten Carson Wentz out of this last deal?
Whew, that is a complicated situation. And I feel like a lot of the criticism that the Eagles went through this past season is through Carson Wentz and his unhappiness. And I feel like if you're trying to start a new situation, get a new QB, there's a little bit more controversy around Carson Wentz than there is about Sam Darnold. And I feel like, especially with Chicago, it's almost a make or break season for Ryan Pace, the GM, and also Matt Nagy, the head coach, based on the quarterback issues you've had before. So I wouldn't want to bring in another, I guess you can say, a little bit radioactive pick in this scenario. And I feel like Sam Darnold makes a little bit more sense. And so that's what I was going to say. It's make or break, sort of must win, kind of boom type of season for Chicago. And I feel like the smarter move is probably the one that's not as hot in this instance is Sam.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chinee. This becomes really compelling because we know some of the other names that are going to be out there in the market. Jameis Winston, what's his future look like with New Orleans in this spot? What's going to happen there? We know Deshaun Watson is the one everyone's waiting on, but he's not going to Chicago as much as Bears fans want to go back and reverse the curse from that draft. But Sam Darnold becomes really interesting if the Jets decide to turn the page, and this could take a lot longer because it would benefit the Jets to keep that situation kind of hush-hush going into the draft so that other teams come calling, so that other teams have questions about that second overall pick with all these great quarterbacks.
That's what I was about to say. They're all tied together because if you're thinking about Sam in Chicago, that means he's no longer there. So who do you put with the Jets at quarterback?
If I were going to put it someone with the Jets at quarterback, it would probably be Justin Fields or Zach Wilson, one of the two quarterbacks there. Now, at this point, I would still probably take Justin Fields in that second spot. I know Zach Wilson has gotten a lot of the hype as of late. And let Sam Darnold start fresh somewhere else. And your point about the Bears' timeline is really well served in that Matt Nagy kind of going to be in prove-it mode now. He didn't get out blameless with their divorce, likely divorce with Mitchell Trubisky here. And Sam Darnold's going into that last year before his potential fifth-year option. He's got to prove some things after having mono and having to deal with being on the Jets, which is his own weird brand of hell. And so now when you line those two things up, if they can come together this year, maybe all of a sudden it can extend to something longer, and if not for Chicago, it gives you an easier out to hit reset if things don't go well.
Agreed. I this is nuts. Again, I've called this the biggest game of musical chairs, and we never thought it would be like this with a retirement from Phillip Rivers, Deshaun Watson wants out, a trade with Matthew Stafford, and now who's next? Go. Who's next?
We still have to figure out, by the way, in the Who's Harry? Next game. Is that Hip-Hop Harry? Is that who that is?
Yeah, Hip-Hop Harry. Who's next? Like, it looks like it could be Sammy. But I'm going to really be really mad, Junior, if I can't go, Sammy and the Jets. That was fun this year. It doesn't really work well with Sammy and the Bears. No, it doesn't work anymore.
No, but if they draft Justin Fields, Justin and the Jets sounds really good natural.
Yes.
And there's
yes.
some alliteration there.
So that's why we should make our pick for Justin at 2 overall instead, right? Like, because I don't think Zach and the That's it. You heard it first.
We pick based on song lyrics and syllables around here on this show. That is the Chiné Angola Jr. difference. Get buckets, get pancakes. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Let's switch gears, though, because in all of the quarterback news that we've had, there was a big-time signing, a 9-figure signing in the world of professional sports. And someone actually said that could be a bad thing overall. We'll get to why next. It's Chiné Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN+.
Chiné Angola Jr., the podcast.
No AD for the next 4 weeks right now. Frank Vogel dropped that last night after the Lakers lost to the Nets. And now they have to try and figure out what to do in the interim. How do the Lakers' role players fill the void? Chiné Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiné Agwumike. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes. But, Chiné, I don't know if you were aware yesterday or not, but yesterday was National Drink Wine Day. I don't normally subscribe to these obscure holidays, but when the Associated Press is the one tweeting it out, I felt compelled to celebrate and ended up spilling wine everywhere in my house and finding out how difficult blotting is.
I didn't even know that was a thing, because I thought it was like National Drink Wine Day every Sunday ever since I had my Holy Communion.
Yeah, no, listen, also a fact, and literally every day since we started quarantine could qualify.
That's you. That's your religious experience.
Hey, listen, to each their own in this one, but I am amazed, Chiné, at the sheer volume, and I know we go through this all the time, but when you look up some of these obscure national days, it's amazing.
What's today?
Today is February 19th, so let me scroll back here.
National Peter Agwumike Day? Yeah, that's what it is.
I mean, we might as well make it that, because right now it is also National Lash Day, National Chocolate Mint Day, National Tartar Sauce Day. Yeah, Lash Day.
Oh, today for the first time I wore eyelashes, and I can barely see the screen during our show, but they're worth it for the dramatic effect.
See, okay. There I was going to say, got the eyelashes in today, got the braids all done today, looking fly out here.
Y'all, he noticed. Well done, Junior.
Listen, guys, this is what we do. Everybody loves everybody around here.
By the way, it was Cliff that noticed, and you probably just said it timely there, but it's
100%, all good. 100%. Chiné Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chiné Agwumike, at Chiné and at Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter. Give us your favorite random national holiday, the one you actually observe, because I decided to try and go for National Drink Wine Day, and it ended horrifically. But, Chiné, as we look at good news in the world of sports, we kind of missed this one amidst all the NFL news and everything that went on there, but Fernando Tatis Jr. signed a 14-year extension with the San Diego Padres, up over $300 million. Chiné, first off, just on its own,
a third of a billy, baby.
That is how you get to the money, my friend. But this is always interesting with baseball, Chiné, and part of me feels bad because we tend to do this at times with sports that people, I don't think, come to this genuinely with this idea. I remember for years, people used to always ask in women's hoops, is UConn basketball bad for women's hoops?
Yep.
No, dummy. They're just really good, and you don't want to have an original take on women's basketball for your own likely sexist reasons. When it comes to Major League Baseball, Paul Hembakides, who is the Greek god of stats for us here at ESPN, does such a great job, actually loves baseball. And so when I saw him tweet a couple of days ago, Chinay, that Fernando Tatis Jr. playing the next 14 years in the country's number 27 media market on the West Coast is an objectively bad thing for baseball, I actually stopped and paid attention to it and wondered, is that actually true? Is this where we're at with baseball now?
Okay, so first things first, shout out to Hembo. But, you know, after I saw that tweet as well, I started doing some digging myself because we're nerds here and we like numbers. LeBron James in Cleveland, that was the 19th biggest TV market. Kevin Durant in OKC, 43rd biggest TV market. Even Francisco Lindor in Cleveland, 19th biggest TV market again. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, 32nd biggest TV market. Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee, 35th biggest TV market. Now that sort of, there's a certain level of stardom that does sort of transcend the TV market. And we'll see, you know, whether the momentum we had this past season with, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. is really going to be able to carry through. But there is some kind of goodness when, especially, you know, I'm here in Los Angeles. We talk about the NL West, the Dodgers, you know, being the beautiful boys of baseball, no pun intended, but like having a villain out there in the same division, like that to me is something that I think people will look forward to. While it may not be great that he's not in a big, sexy market per se, he still has enough appeal. I have so many puns going here. Enough appeal for him to sort of, I feel like, transcend the fact that, like, okay, it's not bad for baseball because his personality is bigger than even potentially his team itself.
Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And you're right. To mention the Dodgers, I think, is an interesting parallel in this conversation because they opened this season again as overwhelming favorites. I think I saw they're the biggest favorite to open a season since the 1999 Yankees.
Wow.
And they're in a major market. And you bring up all those other examples. And we have heard and had this conversation around basketball, around the NFL, where stars are so big in these professional sports that they don't need to be in those high-profile markets, but I think it applies differently to a sport like baseball, Chinay, that has struggled to maintain the same level of popularity and relevance on a national level, being a regional sport. But what you brought up to me is the most interesting part of this is, can these younger players come in and start to brand themselves and start to be out there marketing themselves in the same way? Because that was always the Mike Trout dilemma, is the league needs to do something about getting a star player. Maybe he just didn't have that much interest in doing something besides hitting baseballs really well at a place that no one wanted to pay attention to in the Angels. And so maybe these guys can break the mold a bit because they're willing to be young. This Padres group is using money to keep these young, vibrant players in San Diego where they might not want to stay otherwise for baseball reasons.
I'm just laughing because you did say that Major League Baseball needs to be able to be a little bit more flexible on what we, and even just, you know, organizations as a whole, what we traditionally see baseball players as being. The game in sports has evolved where it's, you know, bigger with brands. And so, you know, we look at what the NFL did with the touchdown celebrations, bringing them back a few years back and how exciting that was. I feel like we sort of have those moments, especially, and I don't want to say we celebrate this, but like brawls happening, like it's now covered like an actual fight-ish sort of way, the way the NBA sort of says like, oh, this person was, you know, talking to that person and chest to chest there. Like that's energy, is as long as it's maintained with respect, it is energy that can bring you to the game. And so I think that baseball has to also lean into that aspect as well.
It's got to be energy that brings you to the individuals as well, because that's what can help you transcend some of these. I don't know if it's a problem for Major League Baseball, but it shows you the issues they have to deal with. Chinay Ngola Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. The Nets took down the Lakers last night, albeit with some parts missing. And so, even when you take those out, what can we take away? We'll tell you that next. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.